And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we are 100 days into Trump 2.0. And while I expected it to be terrible, this is really bad. And the polls are showing large swaths of Americans, in fact, a majority of Americans, disapprove of the job that Donald Trump is doing. Here to help us make sense of it all is Tanya Bjork. She's a longtime Democratic strategist. She's worked with the Obama, Clinton, and Biden campaigns. Her dog even wants to get in on the action. And so can each and every one of you. Listen, we've been talking about the first 100 days. If you have questions or comments for Tanya and I, we'll take those. We want to get into it. 855-752-4842. Tanya, you worked with Badger Battleground Poll.
Yeah.
This was out in the field towards the end of March and early April. So we're a little bit on from the time period that your polling was out in the field. But you focused on Wisconsin. It was the first major poll to test and see what Wisconsinites think about Trump's performance so far. So let's start there. What did you see from the Badger Battleground poll results? How is Donald Trump's administration perceived by the majority of Wisconsinites?
Yeah, well, first off, just a little note. This poll was immediately after the Supreme Court election. So it was right after. So we didn't want to do
April,
a poll
with
all that noise. I don't know if you were watching your television during, the week before the Supreme Court race, but I don't think anything,
no advertisements except for the campaign ads. That's
I have a 10-year-old daughter, and we couldn't watch the news anymore because of all the ads. So, but on to the poll. So what we found is that Trump is in some pretty bad shape. Some key takeaways. I'll start with that. The poll was good news for Democrats. We definitely have the advantage right now. And I think even some recent polling that some NBC polling that was even today, it's actually, everything I'm saying right now is actually now even a little bit better, 3 weeks into it. So, only 41% of people think that the country is on the right track. People really think that the economy is tough right now, and it's likely to get worse. I think people are really starting to absorb what the tariffs really mean, and the fact that what Donald Trump said about bringing costs down on day one is not only not working, but things are getting a little bit worse.
Let me just ask you a question about this, because this has been one of the I just don't have the answer for. Legitimately, every single economist or policy analyst, and including some CEOs that were willing to speak on the record before the November election, said over and over and over and over and over again that this kind of approach to tariffs will make everything more expensive for middle-class Americans. And yet, I heard this story from a good friend of mine, a coworker, exclaimed, "I'm waiting until January 21st to fill up my tank of gas and to go buy groceries because everything will be cheaper on January 21st. And nothing is cheaper than what's before Donald Trump was sworn in on January 20th. Why has it taken people so long to see the truth? And we haven't even hit the pain point yet. Like, that is coming in late May.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is still just people talking about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you think you're frustrated by that, by voters not understanding what all that means, imagine how somebody like me is frustrated with that when we spend literally hundreds of millions of dollars to, on the presidential campaign trying to, sort of tell people that, and to have people just say, no, don't think it, don't believe it. It is really, really, really frustrating. And That's not always the case when it comes to politics and to campaigns. But there's something about Donald Trump that, you know, a lot of, you know, his supporters just, facts and truth oftentimes don't matter. And that's a really frustrating place to be. But I couldn't agree with you more. There's lots of people that I talk to and in some focus groups and such, they just, you know, and you can, it could be the Wall Street Journal, which is seen as a conservative and, you know, a financial paper. It could be the Wall Street Journal saying it, and people are like, that's not what I think. So
it's funny that you mentioned that, Tanya, because I started today talking about the Wall Street Journal's op-ed page today, evaluating Donald Trump's first 100 days and basically saying he's headed for near catastrophe if he continues with this tariff garbage. And oh, by the way, his foreign policy has completely disrupted the global order and probably put a match to the trillions and trillions of dollars the United States has spent over the last 80 years trying to solidify what is in effect the anti-Nazi Western alliance. And he just blew that up in a day because, you know, whatever, Zelensky didn't wear a suit in the Oval Office. But I digress.
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal today doing exactly what you're describing. So we talked about the fact that Wisconsinites very pessimistic on the economic policy of the president. What about things like the border and the deportations?
You know, we didn't spend a lot of time on, we did ask a question about the border and deportations, but this, again, this was before sort of some of the bigger deportation, you know, issues, I'll call them, have arisen. So, you know, I think people are largely split on party lines when it comes to the border, whereas, you know, Republicans and the more conservative Republicans sort of tend to like what he's doing, and Democrats don't like what he's doing, and independents are sort of split a little bit. But I do think that some of this recent deportation issues, let's just call them, that have arisen, like deporting, you know, 2-year-old children and other toddlers and, you know, and not prioritizing, you know, and some of the, what they said they were going to do, which is go after people that have, you know, criminal records and such. But what we're seeing is that there's a lot, the web or the net has gotten a lot bigger. And I think it's going to be a problem for them there, you know, and maybe finally, this might be, you know, kind of what, you know, Republicans always have the advantage on things like border security. And that might be slipping with all these mistakes and missteps that they're making.
So I want to ask you two completely different questions, but they're both related to these security issues. One is, all right, we're both wonks. We both care about this a ton. How important is the prosecution of Hannah Dugin? Like, this to me was a political misstep, right? If you're Trump, because you push all in, unless you convict this woman on something substantial, it's going to look like, yeah, you're a renegade, lawless, you know, what are you doing? This isn't helping anything. So that's question one. Question two is there a pathway where Democrats, while we were talking about due process and the lawlessness of the Trump administration and the constitutional crisis, also just change all of that and say, yeah, here's how we're going to secure the border and start talking about it in an affirmative way when it comes to border security? So is the Hannah Dugin prosecution a potential blow up for the Trump administration? And secondly, is there a flipping of the script that Democrats could engage to go stronger on border security and potentially take this issue back from Republicans?
Well, I think on the judge thing, you know, this will not be, you know, I would guess that what'll end up happening is they will somehow not be able to actually press, you know, prosecute, or the prosecution won't turn out their way. And that won't be unlike many of the other things that Donald Trump does. He does them, and then without, sort of recklessly, and without caring about sort of what the facts are, and his base loves it. And then when it doesn't work out his way, he just simply says, those are Democrat judges. Those are, you know, and sort of blames the process, the system. And, you know, and his supporters tend to nod their heads and say, yeah, what she did was wrong, but it's not, you know, she got off, because of the you know, the Democrat prosecutors in Milwaukee didn't do their jobs or whatever it is. So I think that's a pretty typical thing that Donald Trump does. It's sort of like this, you know, UW-Madison, they revoking all the student visas, just does it, announces it, you know, does a victory lap, and his supporters love it. And then, you know, 3 weeks later or whatever it was, you know, rescinds the revocation, which is a double negative.
Yeah, rescinding.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. You know, and then he, you know, and then he just doesn't talk about it. It's like it never happened, you know, so it's a difficult thing. And you know, it's not what presidents do. Let's put it that way, except for this president. I mean, normally,
no, it's what petulant, spoiled brat children do
as you know, when the White House does something, it is very carefully thought out. It is very, surprise, surprise, this is not the case with this current White House.
Let me turn to that second question. Can Dems retake this issue? What I've been saying a lot of is, listen, we're America. We should be able to do process and secure our border. Like, yeah, we can do process and deport where that's appropriate. Is there an opportunity for Dems here,
yeah,
Tanya?
I mean, I do, but I don't, no matter what we say, voters don't trust Democrats as much on voter security as they do Republicans. But I think that that's gonna change a bit. And I do think that we as Democrats can say exactly what you said, which is, you know, there ought to be a path to citizenship. We ought to protect the DACA families, which are people who, you know, who were brought here when they were very young and because their parents came. But they lived here their whole lives and all of that. There ought to be a quick pathway to citizenship for them. But certainly we need to have more border security as well. And Democrats have been saying that over the years. That's not something like we don't say, screw the border, who cares? That's not what the stance is. It's sort of not our strong suit. And so we tend not to talk about it as much. And that's probably going to have to change if we're going to have to, sort of fight, you know, on that issue. I think we're going to have to change that a little bit. And I think we can.
I think we can too, and we must, right?
Yeah.
And the how of that is what matters to me, right? Because it seems to me Dems have struggled mightily to break through some of the messaging. And listen, I'll chalk up a huge swath of the MAGA base is like, ain't ever going to get them, not going to reach them, don't care what the facts are. Like, that's lost cause territory. But yeah, there's more people that stayed home in November than there were that voted for Donald Trump. That's the group of people that I'm like, hey, does reality matter? Is this getting through, right? How are those people reacting?
Yeah. And, you know, one other thing I would just say about this issue too is I think we as Democrats tend to operate in good faith. And so when the immigration bill, you know, when was that? 4-3 years ago, when there was a compromise and it was a Democrat-Republican compromise and they were about ready to pass it. And Donald Trump said, are you guys kidding me? Don't do that. It'll take I can't run on it. And so, you know, we really thought we operated in good faith. We you know, negotiated with the Republicans and negotiated with people that we don't see eye to eye with at all, especially on this issue. And, you know, then he knew that if that bill passed, that issue would be largely taken off the table.
So this is where I want to start when we come back with Tanya Bourque, a longtime Dem strategist here in Wisconsin. How do Democrats navigate, given that we seem to get punished for operating in good faith and telling the truth? What's next for the Democratic Party, especially here in Wisconsin? How much does the chair matter? You're not going to want to go away. That election's coming up in June. The discussion is coming up just after these important messages. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.